For the last several Lord's Days, we have been studying a series of lessons on denominationalism. It is of grave concern to me that we have a religious world that has over 300 major religious organizations, all with their own distinctive doctrines, their own distinctive aims and plans that are not the same as all of the others. In fact, that's the very reason that they exist. This concerns me because Jesus prayed that we might all be one. He said, "As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee." And so we've been considering the prayer of Jesus for unity. We've talked about apostolic teaching on the matter of division, the walls of separation that are so evident in our religious world. We have discussed the undenominational position of the apostles and the Word of God being the seed of the kingdom, and that seed always, consistently, in every place and every time, produces the same thing. Last Lord's Day, we closed discussing the curse of denominationalism. We pointed out that many an infidel has been made in this world because they look at the religious division of the world, they do not accept it, and certainly can point out that the Bible does not teach that. We pointed out that also there's a tremendous waste of money and energy on the part of the religious division of our world. There's been many a disrupted and broken home because of the different religions of our time instead of just simply the religion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to continue that today with you, and let's think about this together, please. We are eternity-bound souls, and we must consider these matters. We believe that many a soul has been lost because of denominationalism, because of the religious division that exists within our world. This is the most tragic result of denominationalism, the loss of souls. Those who belong to the denominations, no matter how honest or sincere they may be, and we're not questioning that, they are giving of their time, their talent, and their material to the support of religious division, and thus they are placing their souls in jeopardy of being eternally lost. The Bible says, "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings." He goes on to say that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're facing a tough question here. Are we in any way giving part or giving support to the party spirit and the divisions that exist within this world of ours? Jesus said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Certainly the Lord is not referring to agriculture. He's talking about spiritual plants or religious organizations, Matthew 15:13. He's talking about religious organizations which God did not plant, that is, that God did not establish. To know whether or not a particular religious organization was planted by God, all one needs to do is to study the New Testament, because that's God's authority expressed through the Lord Jesus Christ. If the divine word expressly authorizes an organization, then we can be assured that God established it. But if a careful investigation of the New Testament will not reveal a reference to any denomination that exists in our world today, then surely there must be some problem with it. We can confidently conclude that God did not plant, God did not establish the denominations that exist in our world today, because they are not to be found in all of the Word of God. The Scripture says that every plant which the Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And so we are considering here a very tragic loss and a tragic result of this denominational division that exists within our world. Let's think now about what causes it. If indeed this is not the plan of God for our religious world, then why do we have it? The basis for religious unity that's acceptable to the Lord is expressed in this passage. "Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of the same mind one with another, according to Jesus Christ, that with one accord you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15, verse 5 and 6. The unity of mind and accord in the glorification of God must be according to Christ, which means according to His divine authority, which is His Word. Read carefully Matthew 17, verse 5, Matthew 28, verse 18, and John 12, 48. Religious unity acceptable to God can only be produced by the authority of Christ, the New Testament. What then is the basic cause of religious division in our world? Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and turn away from them." Romans 16, 17. Religious division is caused by that which is practiced and taught contrary to what is found in the Word of God, or as he said, not according to Christ. So the Bible is saying, though these are the things that are contrary to the doctrine of the New Testament. Now, read this statement over and over. Let it be a part of your thinking. Every division, every denomination that exists in the religious world today is not a result of the teaching of the New Testament. And I know that's difficult to accept, but it's simply a fact. Because if the denominations of our time are to be found in the Word of God, or they were established by His authority, you would simply read about them in the Bible. But when you study the Bible, what we find is the very opposite of that. They did not result from the authority of Christ, but they simply resulted from what the Bible does not say. It does not teach. Religious division, listen, religious division among the claimant followers of the Lord is always caused by a departure from the authority of Christ, from the Word of God. We're all men to practice and to teach only what is authorized by the New Testament. There will be no denominationalism. May I repeat that? We're all of us to practice and to teach only what is authorized by the New Testament. There will be no denominationalism in our world. Now, what are the contributing causes for man's departure from the authority of Christ and this consequent result that we have in our world today? Let me suggest a few of them. One of the reasons is exalting people above Christ. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, "It's been signified or declared unto me concerning you, my brethren, by them that are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." And he said, "Now, this I mean, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." You see, Paul was addressing a problem. There were people claiming to follow Paul, claiming to be of Apollos, claiming to be of Cephas. And so Paul raises the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? 1 Corinthians 1, 11 through 13. Now we can plainly visualize in the condition of the church at Corinth, we can plainly recognize the embryonic state of denominationalism. What was the cause of the condition in Corinth? It was exalting men above Christ. I submit to you that one of the causes of denominationalism and religious division within our world is exalting men above Jesus Christ. When the church at Corinth began, it was composed of individuals who, by belief in Christ and obedience to the gospel, had become just simple Christians, unified in following the Lord. But as time passed, certain of these Christians became dissatisfied with their status, and so they called themselves after certain prominent religious figures. Some called themselves after Paul, others after Cephas, and still others after Apollos. So we have an ugly division present in the church. Why? Certainly not because all were following Jesus Christ and His divine will. but because certain ones were preferring exalting their relationship to men above that of Christ. Is that not a correct conclusion? If I'm mistaken with that, would you please tell me? Had they been content to remain just Christians, loyal followers of Jesus Christ, exalting the divine name above the human, there would have been unity and peace present in the church rather than division and contention. In more modern times, numerous divisions in the form of denominationalisms have come into existence because men were more desirous to follow and exalt such religious leaders as John Wesley, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Joseph Smith, Mary Baker Eddy, Ellen G. White, etc., than to be simply followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think these things bear our utmost consideration. So exalting men above Christ will produce, has produced, so many of the situations that we have. There's another one, and that's hanging on to traditions. There's an attitude in our world, well, what's good enough in religion for my parents was good enough for me. In fact, we set it to music in our time. This is an attitude expressed by many people, and it's certainly an emotional one, and it's difficult for us to turn loose of. In spite of what the Word of God may teach to the contrary, such individuals as these will stubbornly and tenaciously hold fast to the religious practices and doctrines of their parents. Family tradition and religion takes precedence over divine truth, and so it results in the perpetuation of the divisions that exist within our religious world, because the denominations grow not only by nurture, but by nature. Parents tend to produce offspring who will belong to the same denomination they're members of. By the same token, this is the reason why heathen religions continue to exist. Muslim parents tend to produce Muslim children. Buddhist parents tend to produce Buddhist children, and so on. If it's proper for the children of the denominationalist to blindly follow the religious tradition of their parents without making a real, objective investigation into the light of God's Word, then it's just as right for the children of heathens to blindly follow the religious tenets of their parents. Again, those are conclusions that we have to consider. They are not easy to face. They're not pleasant to face, but face them we must. Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Matthew 10, verse 37. And as long as we show more respect for the tradition of the family than we do for Jesus Christ and his word, denominationalism will continue to thrive and continue to grow in this world of ours. There are other reasons why that this exists, and we're going to consider those again. We'll continue this study next Lord's Day. Please be listening.